We do have a special guest today. She comes to visit us often, and we feel very privileged to have her here today.
Absolutely.
Doctor. I love saying
doctor.
This.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor.
Doctor.
The doctor, Maria Suttmeyer. Now, listen, before we go any further, it's once a year you just have, sometimes you just have to accept responsibility for what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to accept the responsibility for what I'm about to do. The doctor's in the building, and I need to give her an applause.
No.
I'm just going to do it.
We gotta vote on the thugger before the end of the show. We can't have this.
Slay, we got important stuff to talk about.
Let's move on. We definitely do.
How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming. What I want to do is I just want to give you a little backdrop, give everybody a little backdrop of the type of things that me, Slay, and Ray talk about. So about, it was the Saturday before the Super Bowl. Slay, we have this chat that we use every day. Like, it's important to us that we all say good morning to each other. And it's like, we have to start our day off like that. Even if you are off of work one day and you might sleep in, when you get up, you have to say good morning. It's like, it's the bond we have. So Slay comes to the chat and he is ecstatic. There's something going on and he wants to figure out what we can do as a group, you know, to be a part of it. So he starts talking to us about it and he's saying, listen, it's this thing with these BB guns. And I don't think the kids really understand how important and how serious it is. Like, we have to do something. Now, this was, like I said, this was the Saturday before the Super Bowl. So he says, all right, guys, I want you guys to think of what we could possibly do, you know, come up with some stuff. So then everything started coming out and, you know, stuff in the newspaper. And the thing that really bothered me was I started seeing people, parents saying, oh, my God, they're bringing weapons to school and I'm going to get my kid out of this school immediately. So it kind of offended me because the way I look at it, as a lot of the kids that go to Hudson High don't have another choice. Like, mm-hmm. they are there because that's where they have to be. And I don't think that running away is the solution. I think that we come together as a community, figure out what's going on, because we're talking about kids here. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about adults. All right, adults, I could see, okay, let's get away from them. But we're talking about kids. We're talking about teenagers. So it's so great to have the superintendent here so we can discuss this matter. And I'll tell you, I put this post up, and a lot of people were saying, the school. And I was adamant about, I don't think this is a situation that the school should lead. I think this is a situation that the community and the parents should lead, and the school should support as well as fixing this problem, because the problem is starting way before the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ending up at the school, but we need to figure out how we're going to educate these kids on how important this is, how dangerous this is. And hopefully we can do that. So, doctor, I just really love saying that. Like, I do. Dr. Suttmeyer, could you please explain to us as much as you can about these incidents and what the school is going or has done or will do to help with this?
Sure, and I just want to say that I believe that the school is part of the community. So I'm here as you are. We are the community. The students are coming into our school every day at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we have to deal with whatever issues are happening out in the community. So we're here to be a team player. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone to help our students academically and socially and emotionally, and that's what this fits into our goal of helping our students develop into responsible adults. So we've had two incidents on two separate occasions where students did bring pellet guns onto school property. This has only occurred in our school district one other time that I can recall, and it was at a football game. So it wasn't under roof. It was a little bit different, and it was handled there immediately. So, and that was going back a few years now. So, you know, I've been doing my own superintendent's hearings for the last 8 years and have never had an incident of this nature. So we followed our regular protocol, and quite honestly, I found out about it as you did on the front page of the paper. Because of doing my own hearings, I need to be kept out of the information. So everything is fair and impartial, and confidentiality is secured. So we're changing our protocol. I need to know about things like this so I can get out and discuss it and communicate with families right away so that they don't feel that they need to leave the school district. This could have happened in any school, and it does across the nation. It's not the Hudson City School District that this is you know, isolated cases. You read about this all the time, but we don't want it in our school. Our school is much better than this. Our students are better than this, but they don't understand the severity of bringing a weapon like this to school. They think that, it's just a pellet gun, it's cool, it's popular, but they don't understand how this can really cause serious injury. And besides hurting others, it could turn on them. If yep. somebody sees this pellet gun in our schools, it looks real. When you look at these, they're not made like they used to be years ago, where you can identify that as something different other than a gun. They look like a 45 Magnum. They look real. So it causes fear. Now, I do have to say that the students did not show these weapons in our school. Okay. No one knew about it other than telling someone that, you know, the students had it. So I just want to be clear that these students did not create a scary environment where they showed the weapon.
I mean, and that's great. I mean, if you're going to take some good from bad, that's great. So I worry and say to myself, are the kids, are these two particular kids, which we won't name, are they in situations where they felt like they might needed a weapon? Was it the cool thing to do? You know, and I know you don't have the answers for that, but I mean, are those some of the questions that the schools think about? Like, are we giving the kids enough security? You know, people always talking about bullying in school. Is, you know, are we taking care of that and doing everything we can to limit, you know, bullying? Not saying that any of those things are the reason why.
Right, but of course we always ask ourselves, okay, so why is this happening? Why are they bringing them to school? And while we don't have those answers, you know, directly from the students, when we talk to our school psychologists and we talk to trusted adults that kids are talking to, we don't find it to be that they're fearful. We find that it is popular, that, you know, they're cool, they're big for that day, and they like showing each other that they have this because it makes them feel, you know, important and cool at the moment. So that's the only information that we're getting right now as to why they're obtaining these and why they have the possession of them.
What are some of the efforts that are going to be taking place to just spread the word to the mm-hmm. community about these guns? Because I'm pretty sure, you know, there's some parents that have been taken by surprise that they might not even know, be aware that they're, you know, kids have these BB guns.
Right. Now that all proceedings have been taken care of within the school district, I did issue a letter to all of the families from pre-K all the way to seniors that went out Monday and Tuesday. As soon as the last letter was put in a backpack to go home with students, a robocall went out for parents to look in the book bags to make sure that they see the letter. And if they did not get one, it's on our district website. It was tweeted immediately, and it's also on our district Facebook so that people know what the school is doing about it. The letter explains that there's a few different things that we're doing, and we're really looking and being sensitive to the age appropriateness at each level. So for our primary school, pre-K through 2, we are going to be hosting a parent information meeting in partnership with our PTO so that we can talk to parents who are concerned and want to know what's going on, what do they look like, what can we say to our students. So I will be doing that with the school resource officer that HPD provides to us. He's on our campuses every day. Students and families know who he is, so he's a friendly person for them to speak with about this. And I will also be there to answer any questions that parents may have. Underway right now, we are visiting all intermediate school classrooms, so grades 3 through 5 are getting a visit from the school resource officer, and he's answering their questions. He's showing them a picture of what these BB guns look like so that they're aware of it. They know that they shouldn't touch them. They know that they need to tell a trusted adult if they see one or hear about something like that. So really at their age-appropriate level, educating them about what it is and how dangerous it can be so that we don't have anyone getting it into their hands that shouldn't have it. The other thing that we will be doing is the SRO is going through some curriculum, some video clips, and things that he can talk to our junior-senior students with. The junior high school has decided to do individual classroom visits as well because we have grades 6 through 8 there. Mm-hmm. And then the senior high, 9th through 12th graders, will be a part of an assembly with not only the SRO, but with administrators present to talk about safety and other things that come up at that level so that we can have a really good discussion with the students about what they know about these weapons and how dangerous they may be. So we are looking to be very proactive in educating our students. That's our primary responsibility, but so is safety. You can't teach students unless you have a safe environment. So we need to restore everyone's sense of security that this is a safe place to learn. And Hudson City School District definitely is. We've got great students, great families, and we know that kids make mistakes, and they need to learn from that and move on.
Have you thought about including these efforts like on an annual basis? Because this is something that with each generation, it's going to come back.
Sure.
So I know, like, you know, different schools do things about drinking and driving every year. But I think that this is important enough that you should include it on something annually, because I can remember when I was in school, we had BB guns or paintball guns and stuff like that. And I just know its popularity rises with every generation.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, we do every year, our junior, senior high has an assembly going over the code of conduct, making sure that students are aware that it exists, some of the things that, you know, we've had experience with, and try to be proactive in letting them know this never belongs in school. This is not the environment. You know, BB guns or something like that, that doesn't come up for us very often. So this is new territory for us. So we'll have to consider whether we really highlight that and let them know. And paintball guns is a perfect example, because that was very popular a few years ago as well. So, you know, we need to let them know that it's never okay to have these items in school, and that there could be legal consequences. There's, you know, school consequences. Of course, we have a code of conduct that could be up to one calendar year out of school. We don't want our kids out of school for that long. You know, we do take other things into consideration, their age, the intent of what they did, other disciplinary history, to see if we can work with them and provide tutoring as well. So, you know, it's not an expulsion anymore. We try to reduce the time that our students are out of school. But yet it's our responsibility to make sure that all, you know, 1,790 students are safe, and it's not just taking care of the two students that may have made a mistake. So we take everything into consideration. So doing an annual talk to students, letting people know, that is a perfect example of what we are considering for going forward each year.
'Cause I just think of the code of conduct, and it's a big manual.
Yes, yes.
So when you go over that, like, you know, the first days of school, whenever that it's done, you know, that's just one ear and out the other kind of thing. So, like, you know, no one's going to say, like, well, I knew it, and that was page 23 of the code of conduct.
you happen to be absent that day.
Yeah, so, like, what I would just like to see personally for the younger grades as well, because I know there's, you know, a little hesitation based on the content to speak to them directly, but maybe some kind of pamphlet sent home or something sent home so that parents can go over it in their own way with their child, because I would hate to see, you know, a young kid who got a great birthday present and it's like a Nerf gun or a pellet gun or something like that, and he wants to bring this cool gift to school to show his friends, and now he's in a situation where he's facing, you know, 1 year suspension.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. You know, I guess we have to consider as a school, I don't want to give the impression that Hudson is an isolated school, that it only happens here. You know, every school should be doing this.
Right.
Because kids exist everywhere, and what's cool in Hudson is cool in every other community as well. So, you know, I would like to speak to my colleagues about what they may be doing in their districts as well, because this is not a Hudson City School District issue. This is across the nation, really. But I would consider doing things on an annual basis and maybe periodically, making sure that, you know, please be reminded that we want all of our students to be safe, and this is, these are some of the highlights from the code of conduct that you should be aware of.
Yeah, and I want to also address that this is not, we're not saying that this is a Hudson issue, but we live in Hudson.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's
we have to address it as something that has happened in Hudson. There are two students who are a part of an incident. There was a student, there was a young man who was also, you know, part of an attempted robbery in the city. So I think for like these type of things, like we can't have the kid gloves on, that we have to face them head on. And I don't think anyone is going to think that this is a Hudson thing. And Hudson, I know, is notorious for getting a bad rap for being the bad community among all the other communities and stuff like that. But, you know, we here have a tremendous amount of respect for you, and we know you have a tough job. So
yeah, I wouldn't want it.
We do, and I think we need to talk to our stores that are selling these items, because
I was gonna say that.
They're on the shelves. They're not under lock and key, because they're not considered, you know, dangerous weapons. And, you know, our kids are getting their hands on them, and then, you know, they don't understand that they're appropriate only with supervision, but they're never appropriate to bring to school. But when they see them on the shelves in the store, they don't really see much of a difference. So, you know, I'm not making excuses. I'm just talking about this is real. This is something that we need to make sure that as a community. And, you know, Hudson's a close-knit community, and it does take a village. I mean, it can't just be the school that accepts, you know, over 1,700 students every morning to educate them. We need to see what's happening in the community. Parents need to be talking to their kids, letting them know, make sure there's nothing in your book bags. You know, sometimes they forget that they have something in there from when they were visiting someplace else, and then they, you know, unexpectedly bring them to school. But they're going to get in trouble if they're in school with anything that might be harmful to others.
I just got a suggestion from a listener who says, any thoughts on a live stream presentation as well, where folks can also ask to present their questions? And I mean, it's good to hit people at all angles. So, I mean, that's a great idea, too, to do something maybe that can be streamed on social media, where, you know, you can have people watch if they can't make the meeting or the presentation, or something that can be shared and people can see from all over, you know, the community.
That's a good suggestion, too. And that's why I'm here is, you know, again, this is a community that needs to come together. We're looking to the community to help us, you know, to speak to kids, let them know how serious this is. Let them know that school is not a place for them to bring anything like this in. And if they are feeling unsafe, and if there's a reason why, you know, they feel that this is worth the risk, then we need to know about that, because we don't.
Yep. Okay, before we let you go, I want to give you another applause. I don't care about I'm giving you the applause.
I don't think Maria knows about this. So.
I guess not. I think I'm gonna be enlightened.
Yeah, listen, let me bring you up to speed real
quick. I don't think
you should
tell her about it. I mean,
so we have this thing that we give all the guests who come on. We give them the clap, we call it. But for some reason, you've started a controversy. Because when you came on, Vern somewhere renamed it the applause.
Guys,
so now that you've been on the show, like, you're like family of the show. So can you please let Vern know that you're okay with getting the clap and not the applause?
No, I'm gonna listen. She's a doctor, man.
I am flattered with the applause, but I'll accept a clap.
There it is. I'm gonna give you the applause. There it is. So, like we always like to do, no matter whenever we talk about something serious, we try to end it out with something nice and good. And I know you are a very dedicated basketball fan, and you love the Blue Hogs.
Oh, yes.
Sectionals has come up. We have a doubleheader on Tuesday. The girls and the boys are playing. Also, there's a pep rally tomorrow, which my whole family is so excited about going, and it's open for the community.
And free.
Yeah, and free. What does that? How's what's the feeling that you have knowing that the kids were able to win the Patroon again, and they're going on to the next level of sectionals?
Oh my gosh, I am so proud, and you know, it just shows everywhere I go. I just see my teams and see how well we're doing, and really proud of the effort that they're putting into every game and really trying to do their best. And the Blue Hawks are on the rise. We're seeing it across all of our teams. And to have been so excited last year to see them make it through the conference and to the Final Four in the States, it's a feeling like a parent has when you're really proud of your kids and they're excelling and they're doing great things. So that's the feeling that I have. And unfortunately, my schedule keeps me away from a lot of the games, but I'm there as often as I can be. I'm at a function tomorrow night that I need to speak at, so I won't be there tomorrow night, and I won't be here next week because I'm at a school conference. But I watched Tim Martin's posts like I am addicted to them. So I keep refreshing and refreshing to make sure I know what's happening with my team. So,
that's our
guy. Let's go Blue Hawks.
Thank you so much, Maria, for coming in. The door is always open. Mm-hmm. You can come and visit us anytime. And,
thank you for having me.
And like I said, we all understand and appreciate and respect the job that you have. And I think sometimes we appreciate it so much where, you know, we get online and we defend the superintendent.
Yeah.
Not so much Dr. Sotomayor, just the job that you have. Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, I thought you did a great job with the snowstorms that we just had. The three-hour delay, that was perfect. I mean, and it was the night before. I loved it, but I just seem like you have one of those jobs where no matter what, someone's not going to be happy.
Thankless position.
Yeah, and it's got to be rough.
Yes, you have to have thick skin, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. but it's very gratifying, too. I do it for the kids. You know, I love these kids, and I see that, you know, we have so much potential in Hudson, and there's so many great things that are happening in every school. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the Capital Project move forward.
Yeah.
We're going to be breaking ground on April 17th with our new track and field, and there's good things happening.
So you have to come back and talk to us.
I will.